Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic and guide to all things cinematic. He joins us weekly. That's long because the films are short. They are Marshall and Lucky. Hi, David.
Hi, Jill. How
Lucky
are you?
Lucky Marshall. How are you?
I am doing just fine. Thank you very much. And the films are not short. The titles are short.
That is correct. I realized that when I said it. Would you like to?
Okay.
The films are probably long.
That's just fine. Actually, Marshall is a little bit longish. It's about 2 hours. And Lucky is actually a little bit shortish. It's just a squeak under an hour and a half. But they certainly do have nice, short, snappy titles.
Brevity.
So I will. Sorry?
Brevity is the soul of wit.
Well, that is what somebody very famous once said, somebody who actually was not all that well known for brevity, but that's another story. Let us begin with Marshall. Marshall is a biopic of sorts. It is about the very, very great, toweringly great United States Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall. And when I actually went in to see Marshall, I was expecting it to be sort of a regular type biopic about Marshall, who after all did become, he was the first African-American justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, and has only been followed by a couple of more, I guess. But it turns out, actually, this movie is about one episode very early in Thurgood Marshall's career. So we are meeting him as a very young man, played, by the way, very, very well by Chadwick Boseman. And we are seeing him get involved in a case which actually he's not that eager to get involved with. He was working for the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, way, way back. And what they do is they send him around from one place to another. He's a very young man sort of starting out on his career as a lawyer. And they send him around to different places to mainly accuse young black men who have been falsely accused of some crime or other. And he goes down there to attempt to defend the person and get the person a fair trial and this sort of thing. And so he is sent down to help this young man who has been accused of, this young man is a chauffeur. The young man's name is Joseph Spell. And this is all based on reality, of course, although the movie fictionalizes things, but it's based on a real case. And Joseph Spell is a chauffeur, and he is accused of having raped the young woman who employs him, and then driven her onto a bridge and thrown her off the bridge in an attempt to murder her. So obviously, this young man, Joseph Spell, is on trial for his life. And the NAACP feels that this is something fishy about this and that he did not do this. He certainly claims his innocence. And so the young Thurgood Marshall is dispatched down to see if he can help out with this case, help out this young man. So the big problem with this is that Thurgood Marshall is not licensed to practice law in the jurisdiction where he has been sent. So he's got to find, or the NAACP finds, a local lawyer who can plead to get him admitted to try this case. So the local lawyer turns out to be a man named Samuel Friedman. Now, Sam Friedman is very different from the young African-American lawyer played by Thurgood Marshall. Sam Friedman is a young Jewish lawyer who his entire specialty is in real estate and stuff like this. He does not do criminal cases, but he's what they need. He is a sympathetic attorney who is licensed to practice in the area, who can plead in court that the young Thurgood Marshall be allowed to join in the case. So they then go and they appear before the judge in the case, played by the wonderful actor James Cromwell, who I met years ago and was a little bit involved with something he was involved in. He is just fine as the judge in this case, Judge Foster. And Judge Foster, this is clearly a courtroom where white people are very accustomed to prevailing. And here is this young African-American on trial for this extremely serious crime. And the judge, Judge Foster, grudgingly agrees to allow the young Thurgood Marshall to practice in his court on the condition that the young Thurgood Marshall not utter a single word during the trial. If he says a single word, he'll be held in contempt of court. So the young Thurgood Marshall has got to convey everything to the young Sam Friedman, who is practicing alongside him in this case. And it's a rather complicated situation. And Thurgood Marshall, by the way, is furious about this. He says he's seen all kinds of bad things go on in courtrooms about prejudice against black people. But never before has he been said, yeah, you can plead this case in my court, but you can't utter a single word. So that is the setup for this movie. The movie is, in essence, a good old-fashioned courtroom drama. We see the trial of Joseph Spell proceed. We see these two lawyers who at first, by the way, Sam Friedman wants nothing to do with this case. He wants to get back to his real estate cases and things like that. But he finds himself pretty much stuck, partly by the force of Thurgood Marshall's personality, kind of gets stuck with this case. And the two of them then proceed side by side. And I won't tell how the case turns out, but it turns out that Joseph Spell has in fact been lying about some things, but it also turns out that he is not guilty of the tremendously heinous crime of which he is convicted. And things work out in interesting ways at the end. And at the very end, and this is not really a spoiler, but in text on the screen, we are told about how Thurgood Marshall went on to become the first African-American United States Supreme Court justice. We discover that Samuel Friedman also became a lifelong civil rights lawyer and did all kinds of good things during his career. One of the reasons I really like the movie Marshall is that it really chronicles, without ever making a big deal out of this, something which has been a real fact of American civil rights history over the past many decades, which is the tremendous partnership of black people and Jewish people working side by side to help the oppressed of the United States. And it's a very nice testament to that, among many other things. Marshall is a really old-fashioned kind of movie. It's old-fashioned in that it's a real traditional type courtroom drama. Not all of it takes place in the courtroom, of course, but that is the nub of it. And it's also very old-fashioned in the way that it's told. There is no nuance here. We know who the good guys are. We know who the bad guys are, except for Joseph Spell, who turns out to have some interesting twists and turns as a character as the movie proceeds. But we really know exactly who we're supposed to be rooting for, and there's no question about it. And the movie is told in a very sort of shot, reverse shot. This person speaks, and then that person speaks, and then the other person speaks. So it's very old-fashioned and classical in that regard. But I found it very involving, and it's just a good story to hear. And even though everybody, I hope, knows who Thurgood Marshall was, he died not that many years ago. Not everybody certainly knows about this case from his very early career. So I found it a very likable movie, a very involving movie, in fact, very often a kind of a riveting movie. And it's very finely acted. I should mention that it was directed by Reginald Hudlin, who's actually been working in TV for many a long year now. But he is a somewhat important African-American movie director, and there are not many of those in today's Hollywood world. Regretfully speaking, prejudice still goes on in that department, not only in terms of African-American actors, who we've been hearing a lot about with various Academy Award controversies in recent years, but also behind the camera. There are very few African-Americans who have been able to sustain major careers in modern-day Hollywood, and Reginald Hudlin is one, and I'm very glad to see him back on the screen, on the big screen. With this very, very nice movie, and I really do recommend it. And for young people out there, find out about Thurgood Marshall. He's really a person worth knowing about, and this movie has a lot to say about him and about the kind of world where he came up and about the civil rights struggle in America, which is still far from over. So, again, I really do recommend it. Our other movie for today, with a one-word title, it's also named after a person because it is the nickname of the main character, Lucky. And Lucky stars Harry Dean Stanton, who died just very, very recently. And he died at an incredibly advanced age. And I interviewed Harry Dean many, many a long year ago. And I am just so much in his corner. He lived to the age of 91. And he was almost that age when he made this movie, Lucky, which is about Harry Dean Stanton playing an old, old man who is not a movie actor. He's not an actor at all. He's a very ordinary man living in a teensy little town out in the middle of nowhere. But the movie is, in a way, a very direct personal tribute to Harry Dean Stanton. Again, it's certainly not about a movie actor, but Harry Dean Stanton plays an old man, and an old man who I think was very much like himself. Kind of crusty, kind of lovable, and very much involved with facing the fact that he is now an old, old, old man. I will mention right now that even though it was written by Logan Sparks and Drago Samanja, Lucky was directed by John Carroll Lynch, also an actor. And this is the first movie that he has ever directed. So an interesting kind of a project. So Harry Dean Stanton, as it says at the beginning of the movie, is Lucky. He is the character Lucky. And Lucky, as I said, is this very, very old man who is living in this little tiny town out in the desert, sort of in the middle of nowhere. And he is a crusty old man. And he spends his days not doing a whole heck of a lot. He goes out and he has his coffee in the morning at the local diner, and he walks by a certain other place where he hollers an anti-female epithet through the door, and we only find out the reason for that very, very late in the movie. And basically, he follows a routine. He apparently does pretty much the same thing every day. And another thing that he does is to go to this particular saloon in the evenings where he has a drink or two and catches up with some of the local people. And those local people, by the way, are some of the most wonderful things in the movie because they are played by fine actors and actresses, and they provide, even though they're secondary characters, almost minor characters, they provide some of the real color in the movie. So not a whole lot happens in Lucky because the character doesn't do a whole lot. But what we do is we get to know him pretty well beyond the kind of crusty exterior that he keeps up. And we get to know some of his friends and some of his acquaintances. And we follow him through his routine on a few different days. And we kind of wonder what is going to happen with this guy. He appears to be, and this is something that's sort of been emphasized in some of the talk about this movie, he appears to be a very unreligious character, a kind of atheistical character. He doesn't believe that there is such a thing as the soul. He apparently doesn't believe that there is such a thing as God. And this kind of, I'm not going to say it troubles him, but it creates certain kinds of perplexities because he is now very old and knows he does not have much time left on this earth. So what is he expecting? Nothing but oblivion? He asks himself at one point, asks another character, have you ever thought about before you were born? He apparently thinks it's going to be like that, but it's not as easy to be facing death as it is to be remembering what it might have been like before you were born. This is the kind of thing that the movie is about, but in a very low-key way, it raises these hugely philosophical, even theological questions in a very non-philosophical, non-theological way, in a very sort of ordinary life way. These are the things he thinks about, and he is our main character, and so we are invited to think about them too. Now, some of his friends and acquaintances and neighbors in the movie, one of them is a guy named Howard, played, by the way, by David Lynch, the wonderful movie director, who is also a wonderful actor, and he is sensational as Howard, another aging man who is very concerned because his pet tortoise has run away, or shall we say crawled away or inched away and can't be found. And tortoises, of course, live for a very, very long time, and so that raises a certain interesting little angle on that. Tom Skerritt, the very fine actor, plays a guy named Fred, who is not a friend of Lucky's. He's just a guy who shows up late in the movie and has a very, very interesting conversation with Lucky and delivers a very touching little monologue. There are some women in the movie, a woman named Loretta, played by Yvonne Huff, a woman named Bibi, played by Bertolt Adamus. Wonderful characters, very interesting characters. And again, they play small parts in the movie, but they are wonderful when they are on the screen. I also really want to mention the local physician, Dr. Needler, who is wonderfully played by Ed Begley Jr., and who tells Harry Dean Stanton at one point, you're the only person I would ever say this to, but I think you'll be better off if you don't quit smoking. So that tells us a lot about Dr. Needler and a lot about the character of Lucky, as played by the wonderful Harry Dean Stanton. So it's a wonderful movie about eccentric people living their eccentric lives. And again, we just get to know them and not a whole lot happens. And that is one of the really terrific things about this movie. We are just sort of invited to sink into it. I want to mention that Harry Dean Stanton, wonderful actor for decades and decades and decades, once told me that his whole acting technique was to not act, to just be himself. And in Lucky, he really gets to do that. Another place he has done that very recently, shortly before his death, was in the sequel to Twin Peaks, Twin Peaks The Return, directed by the great David Lynch, who again is an actor in this movie. And in Twin Peaks The Return, Harry Dean Stanton plays there too, a really, really old character who looks so frail that you get worried for him, and yet somehow he soldiers on. And that's exactly what he does in the movie Lucky. Lucky is a teensy little movie, not an important movie, not a big movie, except as a tribute to Harry Dean Stanton. But it's a movie that I had a wonderful time watching. Almost all of my critical colleagues agree with me on this, and so I recommend it too. So two movies with really short titles this week, Jill, but I recommend both of them in their different ways. They both have a lot to offer. And that is my two-part story this week.
Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Marshall and Lucky.